What would you rather have? Someone who's your pastor who's always excited, or someone who would show up every week like, oh man, here we go again. I'm about to give you a message. Hope you enjoy it, right? And so I'm kind of the first, right? Like, I'm excited when I come. I'm a glass half full kind of person, and I really am excited, and here's why. If I was ever to do a seminar on public speaking, or if I ever was like brought into a Bible college setting to like speak to college students and to kind of give them a little course on preaching, this is what I would tell them. The most important part of your sermon is your introduction. It doesn't matter how good your main point is. If you lose them in the introduction, meh, they're gone. And today, I got a killer introduction. I know, a little arrogant, but you'll see where I'm headed with this. I got a killer introduction, and here's, this is worth your while, brothers, all right? I got this introduction because I was processing what I'm talking about with my wife, and this was her idea. So it's valuable to like run what you're going to do by your spouse, because there you are. They help you out, sort out your details. So without further ado, this introduction actually is going to come to you from none other than Eric and Coralie. And so I am going to invite them forward. And Eric is the chairman of our board, which is a great way for you now to also get to know him a little bit more and Coralie a little bit more. And we've been talking a lot about invitation and the significance of invitation. And we have done so based on based on the understanding that Christmas Eve service is coming up, a service when people are more open to being a part of the church, a fellowship in the church again than probably any other time of year. And so why not leverage that? Because what invitation does is it puts the power in someone else's hands and allows them to move at a speed they're comfortable with. And the two of you have a really cool story that I think highlights this for us. So in getting to invitation, can you just give us the short version of your stories growing up, how you met, and then your initial exposure to church communities?
Sure. So Eric and I were born and raised here in Fort Saskatchewan, and I've always felt like our story is a little bit boring. We're just two kids born and raised here in Fort Saskatchewan. Went to Rudolph Henning School, if anybody knows where that is, and we met in grade one. So, thanks. So me and my girlfriend sat here. We were in like little pair desks, and Eric and his friend sat behind us. And if you know anything about my husband, he kind of likes to joke and tease, and so he was like pulling hair and doing whatever. And my little friend picked up her pencil and turned around and stabbed him in the cheek with it. And I don't remember if he cried or she cried, but I cried because I thought for sure we were going to be in big trouble for stabbing him in the face. So that's how I totally remember how we met.
Ladies, don't take advice. Assault is not a good way to get a man, just saying, but keep going.
Yeah, so that's how we met. And born and raised in Fort Saskatchewan. No offense to my mom and dad especially and to the church that we attended, but I was a church kid growing up. That's kind of how I reflect back on it now. I attended church regularly, mostly with my mom and my grandma. And we attended regularly, for sure, but I didn't have a relationship with Christ. I didn't get the message somehow. So I just went to church. I thought church, we went on Sundays, and all was well.
Yeah, and for me, I was baptized Roman Catholic as an infant. Didn't grow up in a churched home. We didn't go to church. I think I was baptized because that's just something that my parents felt that they needed to do with me. So did that and then kind of went through life as a kid. And then my father passed away when I was 8. So we went through a couple rough patches there and still dealing with some of it today. And then During that process, I didn't tell this in the first service, but there's a bus story. Some of you have heard the bus story.
And, this is the joy of second service, though.
I know, you can
We
improve,
don't have
right?
a time limit.
Absolutely.
So we can, like, go on here, right? It's all good.
Exactly. That's so I won't tell story. The bus story, but every once in a while, my mom would send me on the bus and go to a church in town here and go to Sunday school. So that was the extent of my church upbringing as a young man. And then Coralie and I started dating because obviously we knew each other since grade one, so it was a natural thing. So we started dating in high school.
Hey, so seeing this is second service and we got more time, like who noticed who, like in a dating type way, you know? Like how did that all happen?
She probably noticed me because I had this fancy lead tattoo on my cheek. Maybe? I don't know. I think it was mutual. Like, we hung around a lot with our school sports and traveling and band trips. She had a different experience than I did at a band trip.
So did you do, like, the check yes or no high school note? Or did you, like, walk
notes,
up to her?
Yeah, but...
How did you...
I don't know. We just kind of...
Yeah. Just sort of happened?
Progressed into love.
Oh. So nice.
Anyway, so more about me.
Yeah.
So we started dating. I spent a lot of time at her parents' place and at Coralie's place, and I started going to church, to their church as well, and we continued on through there. We got married in that church. We baptized all three of our boys in that church as well, because that was the custom of the church. Mm-hmm. And that's where...
Perfect. Where we came. So I just want to, I know you were already said this, and I just want to make sure we are not suggesting or speaking poorly of any other local fellowship in telling this story. It's your story nonetheless.
Absolutely.
And it's just part of us communicating what happened. And so share with us then, you know, you were connected to a church, but it was more something that you did because you thought you were supposed to. Mm-hmm. So share with us what it took to get to the place where God became something personal. What it took for your faith to move from just something that was Sunday to something that was every day, and how that came about.
For sure. So it started off in 2002. I was working out at the plants here at it was West Ham at the time, and I met a new guy. Come. He came from BC. He was an engineer. His name was John. Let's call him John. And he got to know him. We hit it off like right away, and he. He had moved. They just had a little temporary spot, and they needed to move to their more permanent residence. So he said, at the time, I had a truck, which was good. So I said, yeah, hey, I'll come out and help you. Brought Coralie along with me, and we got to meet their family and connect with their family a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You can tell the rest
sure.
of that story.
And so, yeah, we went and met this new family coming to town. Their kids were really close to the same age as ours. Nikki and I just hit it off. Like, we became instant friends. Our big thing was, she started church shopping. So she started church shopping. I don't know exactly her story of how she ended up here, but she did. And at the time, we were working out together and running every morning. So every morning, we'd get together and go for our run, and she would have stories about what was happening here at church and what she was learning. And at the time, she was diving deeper, too, into her faith. And so we would share stories as we ran about the Bible and what we'd been reading, and then we'd go home and read scripture, and then we'd kind of come back together. And the whole time, like, I felt like she was just getting to know me and my heart, and so invited me several times. I'm kind of embarrassed to say it now, how many, but, and I don't know the exact number, but anyway, she invited us, like, you know, you should come to church. And I was like, no, I'm good. Like, we have our church and all is well. And so we'd keep running and keep learning more about Christ and scripture. And one day she said, I'm going to be baptized on Sunday. Like, I really want you and Eric to come. And so, of course, we were like, yes, like, we're totally coming to your baptism. So we came, and that was in 2002, and we came into the church with our kids. And right away, we were just welcomed into this warm church, and people were so nice and kind. And our kids went downstairs, and they were pretty excited, and could just feel a different energy somehow happening here. So we came to the baptism. We sat right back there, like I'll never forget it. And we watched her be baptized. And I'm not exactly sure like what day it changed within me, but I was invited to a ladies' Bible study that was starting like really soon after, maybe even the following week. We met during first service. And then came to second service. So just that's how it became personal to me. We just, yeah, just dove deeper. And because of her invitation to come to the baptism and just to be invited in just such a gentle, kind, and welcoming way, my relationship with Jesus has just expanded from Sundays to an everyday, mm-hmm. yeah, every hour, sometimes every minute type of relationship.
Yep. No. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, much the same. Came here and was just like we came home. It was a family. And met a lot of people, even that first day. I can't even remember. It was probably over 10 people that I met. And, you know, our other experience at church, it was kind of people came and then they went. Then nobody really talked a whole lot to one another. We, like Corley said, 2002. So we don't do anything halfway either. So we're all in, and we're all in for Christ. We accepted Christ into our hearts that year. And then we're baptized in 2004 here. Mm. It was a little bit colder, I'm not going to lie. So we've done a lot of improvements to the baptismal
yeah,
text.
So
if that's something
luxury.
That's been holding anyone back, vouch. It is... balmy now, balmy.
Yeah.
So as we kind of started attending church, Pastor Dan at the time was like, it was early on. I think within the first six months that we were here, he's like, "Hey, Eric and Coralie, you guys look like you're pretty energetic people. You got some leadership skills. Let's send you off to a leadership conference at Sherwood Park Alliance Church. They're doing a Willow Creek seminar thing," and we're like, okay, not quite sure about what that was. So we went and we really enjoyed it. And then like shortly thereafter, we just really got involved in leading youth, getting involved in different ministries. I started playing on the worship team. I can't bash Ken today, but I bashed him in the first service because he said, "Oh, just come to practice. Just come practice on Sunday. No pressure." So I come practice thinking, okay, I'm going to practice and I'm going to go sit and enjoy the worship service. "Oh, no, you're staying up here and playing." So... yeah.
Perfect. Thank you guys for sharing. What I really want us to hear is how you just never know how a simple invitation can lead to a place where you guys are at today, where you're the chairman of our board. Coralie's super involved, and I know you've been a huge support for Janelle already, trying to help her transition. That's my wife, for those of you who don't know. And so it's just been... it's an incredible story how, although you'll say, well, like, we're just two kids who grew up in Fort Sask. But two kids who grew up in Fort Sask who are now leading in a fellowship like this, and it all started with someone having the courage to just send them and give an invite, right? And I think that's super important for us to just hear that. You never know what your invitation can lead to. And I gave an example last week, I think it was, of where I got rejected, and that's okay. But there's time, and you even rejected, like you said, right? There was, not now. But you never know where it can end up. And so we encourage you as we continue to just be thinking about this season as a time to use invitation. It puts the power into someone else's hands and allows them to move at the speed they're comfortable with. So thank you guys for sharing. We really appreciate it. Another way maybe we could put it is that in the life of Eric and Coralie, somebody in their journey was a witness. They bore witness of Jesus to them, and in their life it happened via an invitation. And so we're going to take a look at a story this morning, an account where there is a witness, where someone is bearing witness. And this is something that hopefully as we go through the past morning will convict and lead us all. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of John. We're in John chapter 1 still. We're going to continue on building from last week. If you are a guest or you're visiting with us and you don't have a Bible, that's fine. There's actually Bibles in front of you. We do invite you to take that, to use those. Feel free. If you're using the smaller version and you're not sure where John is, that's fine. It's on page 886. There's a second version there. It's a little bit bigger. If you're using that one, it's on page 1127. So 886 or 1127. And we'd love for you to follow with us if you like. And if not, that's fine. I'm going to read it for you as well. So this morning, we are predominantly looking at verses 5 to 8. But in order to just gain the scope of the whole context of where we were last week and where we're headed, I'm going to read the whole passage because it won't take me very long. So it starts like this in John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word." And we discussed last week, the word is the word logos. And as we studied it last week, we learned that this is Jesus, okay? So I'm just going to substitute the name of Jesus as it will help us in understanding this passage as a whole. So in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This Christmas, we're going to take time and we're considering Jesus as the true light, as a light that has come for all people. And throughout the book of John, this is actually a kind of a sub-theme that's woven throughout John's book, where he wants us to understand Jesus as the light who comes, and that the darkness is not overcome, and his light brings life. It's a message of hope. It's a message that is for every single one of us. John's message of life and light, like I said, is woven throughout. I'm going to read a passage from John. It's just on the next page. And again, you'll hear how John speaks of life and light. Many of you will recognize this. John 3:16 to verse 20. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's only son, or of the only son of God. And this is the judgment. The light come into the world, and people love the dark rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. I mean, so here we got one of the most infamous passages in all of Scripture, right? And what do we see woven right through it? Jesus is light. Jesus is life. Another example real quickly. A number of weeks ago, I spoke on John chapter 8. This is the passage where we see the woman who is caught in adultery. This event takes place the day after the Feast of Tabernacles, a feast where there was massive light at the Temple Mount that was shining, demonstrating and showing the glory of God, much like you would have seen in the pillar of fire back in the Exodus experience, right? And the day after, they bring this woman caught in adultery right to where this light would have been shining, and Jesus, rather than condemning her, Jesus comes to her defense. And then right after he defends her in John chapter 8, after a celebration or a Jewish festival where light is at the center, Jesus says this. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see how it's woven throughout the book of John that Jesus has come as the creator, he has come and taken the form of a human being and brings life and brings light to all. This is something that ought to deeply and personally impact every single one of us. In this passage, we see how Jesus as the light has come and the darkness has not overcome. A message of hope that no matter where you've been, what you're going through, Jesus as the light has come and the darkness has not overcome. I want you to take that phrase, that thought, that line, that the darkness has not overcome, and just tuck it into the back of your memory banks. I'm going to circle us back to that as we wrap up today. As the text goes on in the book of John, we see that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, for the sake of clarity, we're reading from the book of John. And this is named after the apostle who wrote it, okay? So this the book of John is named after John the disciple or John the apostle. That's where the name comes from. The John that we're talking about in verse 6 is John the Baptist, okay? So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. Now this is really important, this person of John the Baptist. Really important. Sometimes we skim over this and we miss it, but here's why it's so important. There's only a handful of things that you see in all four of the Gospels. And John the Baptist and his ministry is one of them. The others, just to see the scope of how important this is, the others are this. You see Jesus coming in the form of a human being, or you see his birth. So you see Jesus' birth. You also see Jesus' death. You also see his resurrection. You see the way in which he is filled with or baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then also the feeding of the 5,000. That's it. Those are the only stories that are woven through all four of the Gospels, and John the Baptist is one of them. I mean, that's something we should take note of. There's something about the ministry of John. There's something significant about why he came and what his ministry was that is important for us to understand more about Jesus. So we're going to look a little bit about John real quickly here. And to start, I'm going to take you to the book of Luke. And in Luke chapter 2, we have like the Christmas story that you all have probably seen in Charlie Brown's Christmas, right? Like it's the Luke 2 story that just seems to always come out at Christmas. But right before it, there's like the introduction to the Christmas story. There's the prelude, if you will. And this is where we meet or find or learn of John the Baptist, who is to come. And so I'm going to read for you Luke chapter 1, verses 8 to 17. And this is how we find that John the Baptist will come and will be born. And so it says this: while he, referring to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. There's so many little miracles and cool stories that are going on there, but I'll tell you those another day. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and must not drink wine or strong drink, for he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Now take note right here, okay? "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah," a prophet who had lived many, many, many years ago, "and turn the hearts," hear this, "and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Last week I told you how if you were a Jewish boy in Jesus' day at about 5 or 6 years old, you would be entered into like the Jewish rabbinical training school, right? What that means is when you were 5 or 6, you began studying the scriptures, the Holy Bible, and you did so by memorizing the first 5 books of the Bible. These little guys memorized the first 5 books. If they were good, like good students, they would move on in the process. And eventually they would get to the place where students would learn and memorize all of the Old Testament. It was unbelievable the capacity they had and the respect they had for God's word. And so when we find here Zechariah, one who is a priest in the temple, we can be certain we are being introduced to a man who knows God's word, who knows the scripture, who is familiar with it in its entirety. And so when the angel of the Lord appears to him, and at first he feels fearful, but then is no longer afraid and speaks to him, he recognizes without a doubt, he would recognize that the angel is doing something significant here. What I mean by that is they're actually quoting the Old Testament. And so I'm going to flip to what they're quoting. And this is found in Malachi, the last book of the Bible. All right, so this is before Jesus is born, but after Elijah had lived, okay? So this is before Jesus is born, but after Elijah had lived. We find Malachi chapter 4 saying these words, and they are going to sound strikingly familiar for a reason. It says this in 4 verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet. So the one who had already lived, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will, and I emphasize that you'll recognize it, turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest they come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. In Luke's account, we see the angel of the Lord coming, and he is quoting from Malachi chapter 4. And Zechariah would have known it. He would have understood completely that his son was the one who was to prepare the way for the Lord. He would understand when the angel spoke of the spirit and power of Elijah, that this is written of in Malachi chapter 4, years before it ever happened. He would have understood that when he talks about turning the hearts of father to children, he was referencing this exact passage. And this is significant for us. Because in Matthew's account, we learn a little bit more about John. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 11. And now we don't just have the angel of the Lord speaking. Now we don't just have the prophet Malachi speaking. Now we in fact have Jesus speaking of this very person, John the Baptist, and of this exact same passage found in Malachi. This is so important for us. Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 to 16. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. If you are willing to accept it, he, referring to John the Baptist, is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. Please don't miss what Jesus has said here. I mean, we just might read over this passage in Matthew chapter 11 really quick that, okay, yeah, Jesus is referring to Malachi 4, or maybe he knows that Luke is going to be written one day. No, no, no. This is so precise what is happening here. We miss it today in 2019 as a North American culture, but to the original hearers of Matthew chapter 11, to the first century Jew that would have read Matthew chapter 11. And Matthew specifically was a gospel written for the Jews. They would have read that. And they would have known in no uncertain terms, without a doubt in their mind, that what Jesus is doing here is he is saying that we cannot see, but that our spirit was designed to sense. And Jesus knows that the spiritual realm exists, and that within it there is an epic war taking place. Where on one hand, he could say something like, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. Two, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has forcefully advanced. He recognizes there's a spiritual battle. And this spiritual battle exists in such a way that the realm of the rulers and the authorities of this realm are looking to lead astray God's creation. They're looking to lead astray you and I even today. And in the midst of our human experience where there is suffering, where there is pain, where there is instances where we can feel like there's no hope, we begin to realize just how real that realm is. But in the beginning was Jesus, And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And he, Jesus, was in the beginning with God, and all things made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the Creator, was now here. He was now a present on the earth. And in the midst of this tension, this battle, this cosmic war where the unseen rulers and authorities are at battle with God and in his kingdom, where there's those who are attacking violently, and then there are those who are moving forward and advancing, Jesus comes and steps into this picture, and in him was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. If you're here this morning, and this is new, and you came just hoping for some type of message that would begin to deal with some of the hurt, the pain, the suffering, that would begin to alleviate just some of the weight, I need you to hear, I need you to know that this is found in the person of Jesus. And only in the person of Jesus. In Jesus, we find the one who took on all that hurt, all that pain, the enormity of that weight, and ensured that it could be dealt with so you could find forgiveness, so you could find freedom, so you could find healing, so you can find deliverance. Jesus did this for you. And yes, we recognize that this is an ongoing battle and an ongoing journey. But nonetheless, in Jesus is that very forgiveness and freedom. And Brother Eric's story was perfect. You could sense it in him. The pain of loss as an 8-year-old that he's still wrestling through, yet nonetheless, he would testify today of Jesus who takes that weight, who works in the midst of that pain, who is with him in the midst of that suffering. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, I want you to know he loves you, and he came so that you could experience what it means to know a little bit more about the light who has come, and that the darkness you are experiencing will not overcome. Because in him you can be forgiven. In him you can be freed. In him you can find healing and deliverance. And this journey just starts by acknowledging just that, by saying, Jesus, look, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry for how I've contributed to my hurt and my pain and the suffering. Jesus, will you forgive me? And Jesus, now my life is yours. Take it and use it. He wants to do that for you. And maybe today is the day that happens. On the flip side of that, if you are here today and you know this already, and I know there are a number of you do, I want you to know, I want you to hear this. Just as John the Baptist was a witness, and he bore witness to the life because he longed for all people to believe, Jesus himself has commissioned you to be his witness. And you might be sitting here and thinking, Pastor, I've never even shared my faith before. I'm not sure how to do it. Listen, I want you to know, over the what I believe and I'm trusting going to be many years together, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you how to do that. But here's how it started for me. The sharing my faith, the overcoming that fear, that hesitancy within me, started by embracing the power of invitation and utilizing my church family to help me in that. And it takes courage, it takes boldness. But even if just as the Apostle Paul prayed for boldness, we too can pray that we would be bold. For God has sent you as a witness of the light, that all might believe, particularly all those in your circle of influence. And we want you, we want to ask you to utilize our Christmas Eve service this season. See, at Christmas, people are open more than any other time of year to gather with a fellowship like this. So let's utilize that to our advantage. And in your bulletins, you have these invitations that I made mention of last week. I'm going to invite you to actually pull them out right now. Just pull out this little invitation. And although it could look like just a simple piece of paper that communicates some details and tells you what time things are going to be and all those sorts of things, I want you to know, I'm believing this morning, that this is more than just a piece of paper, that this is more than just an invitation, that this little paper actually represents a person that Jesus loves and came and shone for, a person that needs to hear of his love for them. And I want to ask you to just open your heart, to allow Holy Spirit to speak to you, and to put the person's name that you need to give this to, and to invite. Knowing that that invitation is then left between them and God, where they might one day come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And as we prepare for this final song, I'm just going to pray over you in this little invitation. And I'm going to ask that even during this time as we sing, that God in his power and his goodness would put the name of someone on your heart that you are to bear witness to the one true and living God, Jesus Christ, who is the light that leads to life. So, Father, thank you for our morning. We recognize that you, at the beginning of time, longed to ensure that we could be in relationship with you and did so through your plan of salvation where you gave Jesus. Jesus, you were present at creation, for you are our God. And you know each and every one here by name. And you know the people that they're already thinking about. And you know the people they need to be thinking about. So we pray that just as you promised, you would send the Holy Spirit in this moment as we sing. And that every one of these invitations might represent and reflect a person who you long to bring into your kingdom, who you long to be invited to a service as a means to start a conversation about who you are and your love for them. Lead us in this time as we end. Amen.
If you'd like to stand, please do. If you want to continue to sit and reflect, just whatever you feel led to this morning.
To sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. Tis music to the sinner's ears, tis life and health and peace. He speaks and listening to his voice, thank you.
If you're here this morning, I want to reissue that invitation. Jesus can make your darkness, he can light up your darkness. He can make the foulness inside of you clean. So if you hear him calling you this morning, I want to invite you to come up at the end of the service, talk to myself, to one of the elders. We would love to pray with you. I want you to come this morning, but if that doesn't happen, it's not the end. You haven't missed your chance. Like I said earlier, you can contact us at any time. We would love to meet with you and to pray with you. And if you are here this morning, you believe in Jesus, again, we are witnesses to the light of Christ. And it's intimidating and it can be scary, the thought of how do I go about being that witness? How do I go about being that light? But there are some words of hope for us. And I want to send you off with them this morning. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And that is my prayer for you, that Jesus will equip you with everything good that you may do his will. So go in peace, my friends. If you want to pray, please come forward and do that.